Ah, good. I've put the alarm on. How's everyone doing? Good to see you all. We've had a great, well, that's good. That's nice and positive. Let's just have a look at a couple of little photos. What have we got on the screen here? Oh, we started the week just moving some of the all the bits and pieces out of the main senior room and storing them in the old art block, just so we could get on with some work there. Can we just, Steve, just switch that light off there for so we can see these a bit more clearly. Next one. This is an interesting one. Look at those doors there. Sandra, she's called, who's related to Mick and Angela and used to be the caretaker at TCP years ago. She phoned us up and said, we've got a load of old doors. We're widening all the doors in the house for some wheelchairs and things. And so we've got about half a dozen of these doors, haven't we? And you could not have cut them more perfectly to fit under that little thing there. So by the time we take the handles off, that's going to be a nice little wall along there making up. By the way, for those of you who are thinking, what's all this here? Is anybody actually thinking that? Yeah, there's a couple of people, sorry. We are in the throes of putting together a project called the Narnia Trail. And over in that building over the far side of the campus here, oh, it sounds like an American church, doesn't it? Campus. We are building an indoor Narnia, basically, or a winter wonderland, which is going to blow your mind and hopefully the minds of all our local school children. And visitors, and so this is what we're doing week by week when we have some spare time. So yeah, there we go. Look, for those of you, we've just come in the main door here, and Steve's taken out this wall here. This is going to be the door into the bedroom, and then can you see down the far end, we've taken out another bit of wall. That's going to be the wardrobe. Hey, come on. And it's going to have fur coats and all kind of stuff that you can push through, and then you'll be in Narnia then. So we've been getting on. Is there another one? I can't remember. Yeah. Loz and Steve, these are another couple of walls here. This first room here, this is going to be where Father Christmas is. I know. It's a bit scary there, isn't it? I never thought I'd say that in church 10 years ago. And this is where you'll meet Father Christmas. You know, it should be, this is where you meet Jesus, isn't it? But anyway, if you've not read the stories, it's in there. It's in there. So you meet Father Christmas there, and then you go out of there and then back into the other thing, and that'll be Aslan's tent, and there'll be swords and shields and all kinds of stuff to play with. Very exciting. Good. So that, you know, we're not going to go on about it every week. Just every other week we will be mentioning our progress. No, this loads. We had a meeting on Monday. Loads of you were there. And I know, well, there must be 20-odd people on the WhatsApp group now. And I tell you what's exciting is for us, is whoever you meet in the village, I'm not talking about in our church community here, but people who are not in our church community, they're excited as well. Is that good? Yeah. All the schools now, Holmeswood, Mearbrow, the two church schools in Banks, TCP, All Saints, Holy Trinity, all of their children are coming those first two weeks in December. Isn't that exciting? We've got some of the Girls Brigade groups coming from over at Bretherton there somewhere. We've got the Lunch Club, who meet on a Wednesday, obviously. There's about 60 of those there coming. The two Saturdays will be open to general public, so if you've got friends or neighbours who would like to book in a time and come and bring their children or grandchildren or just come on their own and have a little look around, it is so that we can just connect into the community. That's what it's all about, yeah? And so that's why we're excited about what we're doing. Now, this morning, as you can see on the leaflet, we want to talk. One of the important things that we want to talk about, there's lots of important things this afternoon at GCM. I do hope you can try and just come to that at 4:30. It's really important that you try and touch base with us on that. And if you can't come, please just have a word with any of the leadership team and pick up some stuff, just so that you're in the loop and you know what's going on with things. Yeah, so we were talking about vision and core values this afternoon. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're just going to get started on that because it's just such a big area, such an important area. We wanted just to kick that off this morning. So that's what we're going to be doing. And because it's about vision, I thought I'll just see if I can find some funny stories about vision. Because you know I like funny stories, just at the beginning. Peter likes funny stories, don't you, Peter, as well? Laughing's good for the soul. It is. It's good for the spirit and the soul there. Now, I did find quite a lot of funny stories that I've shared with my family, and they said, you can't say that on Sunday. If you want to know what those stories are, I'll tell you privately afterwards. There's a couple that one of them was good, just about, because a lot of the jokes were about opticians, obviously, weren't they? Because, you know, too, with vision. A lot of them to do the opticians. You'll like this one, Stuart. Did you hear the story about the optician who had an accident with the lens grinder? He made a right spectacle of himself. They're not all as bad as that. I like this one. It's nothing to do with vision, this one, actually, but there was a man, a little bit like me, stumbling. I stumble a lot at the moment, but as some of you know. But a man was stumbling by the riverside. He was totally inebriated with alcohol, and he'd obviously been having a good time. And he was walking along the side of this river, and he came across a preacher who was baptizing people in the river. And he staggered up to the water's edge and subsequently fell in. The preacher turned round and is almost overcome by the smell of alcohol and says to this man, he said, are you ready to find Jesus? And the drunkard said, yes, I am. So the preacher grabbed him, dunked him in the water, pulled him up, and he said, brother, have you found Jesus? He replied, no, I haven't. The preacher, shocked at the answer, grabbed hold of him again and held him under a little bit longer this time. Up he comes. Brother, have you found Jesus? No, I haven't. By this time, the preacher's at his wit's end, grabs him hold again and holds him under for about 30 seconds till this guy's legs and arms are flailing away, pulls him up and says, brother, have you found Jesus? Bloke coughs and splutters and says, are you sure this is where he fell in? You like that one, Peter? So, Richard, what do you say? It's not bad, that one, is it? Yeah. We thought that might be on the edge, that one, but anyway, hopefully that's not offended too many people. Good stuff. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about where are you? Remember, we talked about God walking through the garden, and Adam and Eve were hiding, they were withdrawing themselves, and God said, where are you? And we talked a little bit about where we're at in our own personal lives and in our journey. Linda last week spoke a little bit more about where we want to be. And as a church community, bringing all of our different gifts to the party. Whatever gifts you have, natural gifts and spiritual gifts. We don't see that as a kind of a dualistic thing that, you know, you have different kind of lives. You have a natural life and a spiritual life. We have a whole life. We have a total life. But we do have gifts that we have that are just part of our natural upbringing and things. And there are also spiritual gifts that God gives to us in different ways. Where are we at in terms of bringing our gifts to the party and where we're going? Now today, this afternoon particularly, and this morning as well, we're just going to think a little bit about the title that's on there, Vision and Values. And this is something, just so you know, this is the sort of, today is a little bit of a culmination of quite a long journey for the leadership team and the trustees. Probably over, I don't know, maybe even 2 years now, we have been starting to chew over and think about things that are important to us, things that we value deeply here at Hesketh Bank Community Church here. And so what we present to you today, it's not a finished product, it's not a perfect document, it's where we're at in terms of where we're up to in our journey at the moment. And I will give you a copy of that just in a moment's time. But just so that you know that, it's something that we've been thinking about, we've been praying about, we've been talking about, we've been taking advice about for a long journey now, the last 18 months to 2 years. So it's not something we've sort of just thrown together and just jumped on because we have a GCM this afternoon. It's merged well with just this timing this year. And vision is important, isn't it? If you look in some of the dictionaries and stuff, it says vision is like a mental image of what the future will be or what we would like it to be. Having that vision of where we're going, of what that future could be and possibilities. The ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. This was another one that I came across. A vision statement focuses on tomorrow and what a group, an organization wants to ultimately become. This is an interesting poster that I came across. Just do the next one. Matt? No, not that one. Oh, by the way, that's just, some of you were asking a few weeks ago about that book that Linda and I have just started to read. And some of you have asked about that. That's that one there. If you want to have a look at that later. This is the poster that I came across. Vision without action is daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. Vision without action is daydream. What we're not talking about today here is just having lots of nice ideas. We do need action. We do need to get on with jobs. We do need to do things. But so often you and I know in our family circumstances and in life, we can get so caught up in activity, in busyness of life, that we forget sometimes just to step back, be quiet and reflect upon why are we involved in all this activity? What are we actually hoping to achieve and to do? So we need both, don't we? It's not, you know, one or the other. We need vision and we need activity. Oprah Winfrey. Not that I, you know, follow everything she says, but she did come out with a good comment. She said, create the highest, grandest vision possible for your life because you become what you believe. I read that again to you. Create the highest, grandest vision possible for your life because you become what you believe. What we believe as individuals, but also as a corporate body as well, is very important. Our theology, what we think about God, is vital to our lives and vital to our community here. It's too simplistic just to say, I believe what the Bible says. Now, many of us grew up in that kind of context. Well, just believe what the Bible says. If we follow exactly what the Bible says, Linda wouldn't have been speaking last week. We wouldn't have a female family worker here. We wouldn't have women and girls here who are actively serving God week by week. Because you can find in the Bible places which put women down that way. Most of you here this morning, I can't see anybody, most of you here are breaking scripture because you haven't got anything on your head, ladies. You're not wearing scarves. You're not wearing hats. You know, you can find things in the Bible, you know, about all of those things. It's too simplistic to say, well, I just believe what the Bible says. If you look back over the generations, over the last couple of centuries, the Bible has always been used, but many times for bad things. You think of the Crusades. You think of the ongoing subjugation of women down the centuries and the way they've been put down. You think of apartheid in South Africa and the general kind of way that black people were just subjugated for so many centuries. All of those things came from people who sincerely believed in faith initiatives. They used the Bible to back up what they were doing. So it's really, really important that we don't have a simplistic approach to things and that we think carefully about what we believe as individuals and what we believe as a church community, because what we believe affects the way we behave and the what we become. Is that right? What we believe affects the way you behave, and that affects what we're going to become. So that's why it's so important that we think about vision. We think about our values. Now, what I'm going to do in a moment, I'm just going to ask a couple of people, probably people near the front. We're just going to give you, now, there's about 60 or 70 copies of these. There's enough certainly for one per family. So if you're just on your own, that's fine, just take one. But if you're in a family, there's a couple of you, please just take one for today. Hopefully there'll be a few spare for people who are not here this morning. I know there's quite a few people away this morning at different activities and christenings and things, and dedication services. So we want to have a few spare just for this afternoon, but make sure you get one per family here this morning. And and what I'll do, I'll just give you 2 or 3 minutes just to have a little look at it. It's called Vision and Core Values. Have a little read inside. On the left-hand side is sort of vision statement, and on the other side is some core values. And we'll be unpacking this a little bit more this afternoon, but we did want to get started just on it this morning. Now, just before we hand it to you, just something that it's not. It's not a total, creed of exactly everything we believe. You won't find anything in here about what we believe about creation, what we believe about the nature of sin, what we believe about the nature of heaven and hell and things. It's not a doctrinal, this is everything that we believe. It's about where we feel as though we should be aiming and going as a church community, and things that are important to us in terms of our core values. Does that make sense? It's not putting those other things aside as being not important. Of course they're important, but that's not what this document is for. So please grab one, have a little read together. Just for a few moments. Karen, can you just give a few out as well there? Perhaps if you go to the back and just start there, give them to some other people as well if you want, just to hand out. And you can keep these. You don't have to hand these back later. Hang on to these. You can put them under your pillow when you go to sleep tonight. Anybody can't see one? Thanks, John. Now, for those of you who are here this afternoon, there'll be a chance just to bounce things back at us and talk to us. I don't want to particularly get into a Q&A now about that particular document. But please have a look at it after lunch as well and just reflect on things there. I told you what it's not. What it unashamedly is, though, is a document that focuses on the fact that God is a God of goodness. God is a God of love. And when Jesus was asked specifically, what are the most important things? Jesus said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And unashamedly, you know, we want to focus that document on the love of God, on the person and the centrality of Jesus, and on the need for us to take that gospel of good news and impact our community where we live here. They're the key things that come through. Now, interestingly, unknown to us, a church not a million miles away from us, Christ Church in Southport, have been going through exactly the same process as us over the last couple of years. And they beat us slightly to it a couple of weeks ago and produced this quite swanky looking booklet. We're not quite got the funds that these Anglicans have, but anyway. They produced this booklet called Our Vision. Now let me just show you, here we go. This is the sort of opening paragraph in their document. And I just want you, in blue there, I've put just the things. As I read it, I could not believe how similar and the same kind of phrases and the same kind of terminology that they were using. We're a church with a heart for the local area, the local community. Our desire is to play a part in giving people hope-filled future. We want to work with others. That's a key thing in building effective bridges between church and community, to foster relationships with people of different generations, cultures, backgrounds, whether they have religious faith or none. Our vision is that we might impact the area with God's unconditional love and transforming power. We believe the church should take seriously the command of Jesus to love God and to love our neighbors. Isn't that amazing? We found that as a leadership team really encouraging, that, you know, we'd spend that time trying to come up with some kind of way of putting into words, you know, how we were feeling about our priorities and our focus. And here was another church, you know, that we've had connection with over the years, who are doing exactly the same thing. Now, there are a few differences. Next time you're passing Christ Church in Southport, pop in and get a copy of that. There's a really great section in the back where they take you through some Bible verses that they've used, almost like a prayer document. It's excellent, really, really good, and we thank God for that church and all that they're seeking to do in the Southport community there. But our heart is for here, isn't it? Our heart is for Tarleton and Hesketh Bank and this locality. So, you know, they're the key things that have come through, hopefully, to you in this particular document here. I just want to read you some verses from the New Testament. I'm enjoying reading this version of the Bible at the moment. I've mentioned it before, the Passion. You can't get the whole Bible at the moment. It's just the New Testament, Proverbs and Psalms. But I'm really enjoying this kind of fresh language that comes through. Let me read you these first few verses in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3. Throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us, living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, Jesus, the appointed heir of everything. For through Jesus, God created the panorama, I like that word, of all things and all time. The Son, Jesus, is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact representation of God's true nature, his mirror image. Jesus holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. I love that word expand. In the Greek there, in the Aramaic, it's a word that means to grow, to move forward, to carry along. And I like that idea that the things that Jesus said and the life of Jesus carries along the story of life. Isn't that good? You know, he takes our lives and he carries them forward. He moves what we're doing forward. He carries everything along. I'll read you that again. Jesus is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it, moves it forward by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sin and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. As I said before, you know, the thing that is very, very important to us here is the love of God. But we only know the love of God because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And the reason why we focus so much on the person of Jesus and why that name keeps cropping up in this document is because of those verses that I've just read for you there. You know, in the past, God used to speak in many different ways, through prophets, through things that happened, through the nation of Israel. He took that nation and through their history, he helped unveil what kind of a God he was. But in the end, he had, in order to represent himself fully, to express himself fully, he had to send his son. And in Jesus, we see the full expression of God. And that's why that name keeps cropping up in that document there. And that's why it's so important that we take the words of Jesus seriously there. And that's why right at the beginning there, you know, if you like, not a catch line or a punch line or whatever, but you know over this last 18 months that the things that have kept coming to us have been love God, love each other, hasn't it? You know, we've spoken about that an awful lot. We believe in the goodness of God, but we must take seriously, we need to love God and we need to love our neighbors. What struck me this week when I was just reflecting on that, just a slight aside, I thought, you know, that's a bit interesting there, because if I'd have been writing, or if I'd have been Jesus saying these things, and somebody said to me, what's the most important things then, Jesus? If I'd have been Jesus, first one's fine, love God. Yeah. And the second thing I would have said was, love everybody else like God loves me. Wouldn't you have said that? Because that's the wonderful thing, is it's God's love. So love God, but then love Johnny, love Richard, love everybody else like God loves me. But it doesn't say that, does it? Love your neighbor, what? Like you love yourself. I'll just reflect on that. It's just an interesting one to think about, isn't it? It's a bit of a challenge, actually, in a way. I found it a challenge, really, is how much do you love yourself? Now, if you chat to Linda, she'd probably say Mark loves himself quite a lot, actually. I tend to try to think of it as that I'm happy in my own skin, you know. I'm not trying to be somebody else or something else. But the thing is, it's interesting, isn't it, that if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love your neighbor, are you? Is that right? Have I picked up the logic there of that one? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's really important. What you think about yourself and what you know about yourself. There we go. It's a nice little thing. Can you just switch it off for me now? I know that my time's up. Pretty, that. It was pretty. We just need to switch it off now. Here we go. Brian's getting a little bit agitated now. Look. Just turn it off there. Is it off? Yeah. No, it's worth thinking about that one, though, isn't it? Your view of yourself is vital as well. Because if you don't love yourself, if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, you're not going to be able to impact, well, you will impact other people around you, but not in a positive way. If you just see yourself in a negative way, if you just see yourself as a constant failure, if you always see the bad things that are happening in your life or the weaknesses in your life or all the other things, then that will impact your ability to love and care for other people. Is that right? So it's vital for all of us. You know, when we read here, we believe that we're created for a relationship with God. We believe that God is good and he loves us. You've got to get that into your spirit. You've got to get that into your life. And you've got to own that. Because that will impact the way you behave with other people, the way you care for other people, the way you see other people. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And God loves you. And God loves me. And he has some fantastic plans for our lives. And the more we can kind of absorb that and get hold of that, I think that will help us as we seek to influence and impact our local community and families and streets where we live. Well, I'm conscious that that's kind of a bit of a hurried intro to that document, and our time is up. But please, read it carefully. Come along this afternoon if you've got any kind of, you know, oh, I've read that and I'm just not happy about this and I'm not happy about that. And you, by all means, come along this afternoon. Don't give us a load of earache this morning about it. But remember, it's a working document. It's a work in progress. It's not something, we haven't written them on two tablets of stone and they're held in some Ark of the Covenant through there. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? In a year's time, we might tweak it. We might change things. 6 months' time, we might. But we need something to work with now where we can say, you know what? I'm behind that. That sounds good to me. And I can work with that. And I can flow with that. And I can join with Jesus in carrying that thing forward there into impacting our local area and our local community. Now, maybe this morning, as you come in, you're thinking, you know what? I don't know, why are they so excited about all this stuff? It's because we're excited about Jesus. Because Jesus has transformed our life. That word keeps cropping up here as well, isn't it? And I don't know where you're at this morning in terms of your journey. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Where are you? And maybe some of us this morning, you know, as we start to talk about this thing, you start to realize, you think, you know what? I'm not sure where I actually stand with Jesus and with the love of God. And maybe this morning, you just reading that, you think, you know what? I love that idea. I want to join with that. I want to walk with that. I want to run with that. And it's just about turning away from our own plans and turning towards Jesus and just saying yes to Jesus. And maybe some of you might like to just do that again in your hearts this morning. Just say, yeah, Lord, I want to run with those things. I love the idea of loving you and loving others. And that's what it means to be a Christian. It's not about following a load of different rules and regulations. It's not about coming to church on a Sunday. It's about loving God and loving your neighbor. That's what makes a follower of Jesus, isn't it? Is that right? You're not sure, are you?
We are.
Good. Bless you, Peter. I'm glad you're here each week. That's good. I don't think we'll have a song this morning, Johnny, just to finish with. Let's just pray together, shall we? Shall we stand? Thank you for listening so well. And let's just pray now as we close. Let's just be quiet for a few moments. Don't be frightened of stillness. We all live too busy lives, and we sometimes need to learn to be quiet, be still. It's only then sometimes we can hear God speaking to us. And maybe for some of us this morning, we're conscious that we've been following our own agendas. We're just following our own path of life. We're just doing what we think is best rather than seeking God's best in our lives and our families. So maybe for some of us this morning, we just need to turn. We just need to say, Lord, I want to turn towards your way. I want to follow after you. I want your love to capture me and to navigate me through this life. For others of us this morning, maybe we just need to reflect upon how much we do love ourselves, how much we think of ourselves, our own self-worth. And some of us need a shift in concept of that. We need to hear what God says about our lives, not what we say about our lives. We need to hear his word over us. You are someone that I love. And for all of us, Lord, we want your very best. We want to be people of vision. We want to, Lord, move forward. And we want to know, Lord, which activities we should be busy with. Help us to put aside the things that are not necessary. And help us to stir up and focus on the things that will help build your kingdom of love and power and goodness in our local area here, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We look forward to seeing many of you this afternoon. If you need prayer for anything this morning or anything spoken to you, prayer team will be out the front here. Bless you.